Today's program has been brought to you by Hearst Ranch, the nation's largest single-source supplier of free-range, all-natural, grass-fed, and grass-finished beef. For more information, visit HearstRanch.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit HeritageRadioNetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It is 3:15. Sorry we're late. Simon was making chow chow. It is October 25th, 2012. We're sitting here with the lovely man, the mastermind behind Chop Shop.
Chop Shop, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. T-C-H-O-U-P, Shop.
Short for Chopatulus.
Yeah, he's the chef, and now he just started his career to move from Chop Shop. Well, not move. You actually still do.
Oh, yeah. We do Chop Shop. We're actually about to expand Chop Shop.
To Bushwick.
To Bushwick, to Heavy Woods, yeah. Up by the Jefferson Stop.
Yeah.
And I just took over a kitchen also at the kind of a gastropub-y thing. We're doing a little bit more called Dean Street.
Right.
Where I've actually been producing Chop Shop out of for the last year and a half.
Yeah, I was looking at your menu, and for people, Dean Street is this place at Dean and Washington, right?
And it's corner of Dean and Underhill.
In Prospect Heights.
Mm-hmm.
And it used to be, what was it before?
It used to be Tavern on Dean.
Right.
For, I don't know, like 20 years or something.
Yeah.
You had a lot of people that still come that they're like, oh, I came here for 20 years. Where's my jerk chicken wings? You're like, dude, you can go get them at anywhere in Washington, but you know, here we're gonna go.
That's
nice crispy confit wing with a chipotle jam, handmade, a little Maldon salt, some fresh cilantro, something delicious, something sports party.
So give us a little insight here. Like, what was the deal? Like, okay, so your menu at Chop Shop was always amazing. You had your New York take on New Orleans food, because, I mean, believe me, if you actually did New Orleans food here in New York, it would not work, because it's just so heavy, you know?
I think it depends on where you eat in New Orleans. I mean, I think the food in New Orleans is really quite amazing.
I think you do a very good balance between the New Orleans heavy, because, you know, I just got back from New Orleans, and everything I freaking ate down there was like a gigantic fried piece of something, and the only thing they didn't fry it on there was the goddamn water, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know, I like fried chicken, you know, I mean, we never had that option until about last year. I think we purchased a small fry daddy. I mean, we used to cook everything on the grill. So we started like that. I mean, the idea with Chop Shop was essentially to advertise DBA, and when, you know, Ray and Dennis had opened DBA Brooklyn, and they asked me to do a barbecue, and, you know, meanwhile I'm the chef at a French restaurant in Midtown, I'm like, you're out of your mind, like, you want to flip burgers for $10 an hour on my day off, forget it. You know, Dennis said, he's like, you know, taking a boat trip, we're on the sailboat, and he says, why don't you just do whatever you want to do, bring all the food and keep all the money. And I was like, huh, that sounds like a good idea. So, you know, I mean, they own two bars in New Orleans, so it made sense to me. You know, they got DBA on Frenchman Street, which is one of the...
And you have serious New Orleans roots.
Oh, yeah. I lived in New Orleans for 10 years. Uh-huh. I worked at the Windsor Court Hotel, which, is like, at the time was a five-diamond mobile five-star restaurant.
This was before Cochon Butcher, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. people think now fancy food in New Orleans is Cochon Butcher, you know?
No, I mean, Cochon Butcher is awesome.
Yeah,
I don't call that fancy food, but anybody recommends where to ask me where they should eat, I say there.
Right.
You know, I try to steer them towards Emeralds. A really good friend of mine is the chef at Emeralds.
Yeah.
The food bar is fun, and I, you know, get to like introduce them to David, and so he kind of interacts with them. He always hooks them up with something.
Yeah.
I don't know what, but, you know. But, no, that was it. So, you know, I decided to tie in the DBA New York to, you know, the DBA New Orleans, and we'd serve New Orleans food because it's often misunderstood. And, you know, just like you're saying, you were there and you're like, oh, it's so heavy.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I look at it as going, okay, well, I make gumbo the way the guy who taught me how to make gumbo made it. Yeah. The only thing that I do differently is I use duck fat for the roux instead of oil, right. You know, and that's pretty much it, you know. Other than that, I mean, I can't think of anything else light or different. I mean, the grilled oysters we do are obviously different than Drago's, but I mean, Drago's has their oysters. And so, you know, for me, I wanted to be like, let's do grilled oysters that's like New Orleans style, but
see, the
never ending.
This guy is doing everything.
Sorry, y'all.
No, do it. Yeah, because I mean, just he's constantly working
Alex
with
Lopez.
Yeah, he's
guy looks like he's looking for a job.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you're opening a new place, so I mean, all day you've been like blowing up off. Before we got here, he was making this chow chow.
I think it's so pretty amazing. Good.
I have it right here, and I haven't opened it yet.
See if it tastes better yet.
Yeah, it hasn't even married yet. But tell us about this chow chow you were making, because it's something new you're going to be putting on the menu.
One of our best customers, our favorite customers, he eats at Chop Shop sometimes four times a week.
Oh my god!
In our 2 days that we serve food,
is he like 5 million pounds?
No,
I'm just kidding.
He's a cool guy. I'm kidding. He's a New Orleans native. He's great, and you know, I saw him last week, and he kind of complained to me. He's like, "Oh, the food went way downhill because I've been spending some time on some different projects, and so you know, it's football season, so the Saints fans are coming, and it's kind of unruly, so." We try to streamline the menu a little bit, and we haven't really been as dynamic as we normally are. And so he'd said something to me, and so I said something to, you know, the chef at Williamsburg, and I was like, well, we need to start making some more interesting food, because, you know, I mean, whatever, we got to start cooking for us again. And so this was what, you know, I know Jacques, he likes to make head cheese. Yeah, I think it's on its way. I mean, it's going to be really, really good.
Yeah, tell us.
The chow chow. So we're making a, it's going to be a sandwich, a special sandwich. It's going to be called the TCB.
What's that stand for?
Taking care of business.
Gotcha.
In this case.
He just showed me the tattoo on his arm, taking care of,
But yeah, Jacques and I actually have the same tattoo. So, you know, we've been friends for almost 30 years. So
yeah, Jacques is the guy I met in the
Chef of
Chop Shop. He was tearing apart the pig head.
So weird
to
say Chop Shop Williamsburg.
Yeah.
But anyway, the sandwich is, you know, it's going to be a tête de cochon, so a pig head. That's the T, and then the C for the chow chow, which is it's going to be like a pickled merlaton and jalapeno chow chow. And some pickled with like, I'm going to put in here like masala pickle and, you know, four kinds of chilies and green tomatoes and, you know, Persian cucumbers. Our own Creole mustard that we make.
Yeah. That's the thing that I was down there.
The belly, the confit pork belly.
Right, that's what I was just going to say.
TCB on something like a rustic bread. It's going to be a really good sandwich.
Yeah, and this is going to be something that comes on the side, or is this going to be on the sandwich?
It's going to be on the sandwich.
Yeah, I'm going to take a photo of this so Joe can put it up later, but this stuff is beautiful. It looks amazing. But I was going to say, You've made sandwiches before, like shrimp po' boys, obviously, and I noticed a lot of stuff on your menu at Chop Shop was never a lot of things you wanted to put on the side and give people that option to put it on. But this is one of the first sandwiches I've seen you make where you actually are going to put something on it.
No, we pretty much put things together. I mean,
well, your pepper jelly and chicken biscuit,
that goes together.
That goes together. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Everything goes together. The po' boys come. It depends on which one. Like we did, we were doing a soft shell crab po' boy in the spring, and that was like a nice like a whale size soft shell crab. Mm-hmm. You know, just kind of fried in our fish fry and. Kind of a light cornmeal based batter, a little bit spicy, a little bit earthy.
I hope you guys are getting hungry.
And that was coming with we were actually making a ham hock remoulade, and that was being served. So it was like a kind of a traditional remoulade that like with a ham hock base. I kind of like that crab and pork combination. You'll see a lot like we were doing later on in the year. We were doing like a slider with a red cooked pork belly with a crispy soft shell crab. And some rice wine pickles, but I mean, we make everything by hand, so you know, we kind of do whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
We try to make things. I don't think we really serve anything on the side of the sandwiches. I mean, you know, we do. What are the other sandwiches we do that are really popular? The duck sandwich that's always popular. The pumpernickel bread, the griddle.
Yeah, you had that. When did you start making your mustard?
we started making mustard from the first chop shop. Yeah, uh-huh. Very first time I wanted to do was everything handmade.
I didn't know that. I thought it was like
we actually used to make our own hot sauce. We still do sometimes. There's, yeah. You always find like a Thai chili vinegar.
And the one thing there. That you do sell is still the pepper jelly, right?
We sell pepper jelly on the down low.
It's hard.
Everybody wants it.
I guess it's hard to get that what do you need exactly to sell it? What the heck's it called?
Some time to focus on finishing getting that
without having three successful New Orleans style restaurants in New York City. You'll have the time to do jam, maybe.
Yeah, you know? Sure. But to get the next one open first, hopefully in 2 weeks.
I believe we're going to take a short break, right, Joe?
Yeah, definitely. You guys can take a break whenever you want.
All right. Yeah, we'll take a 2-minute break and then we'll come back.
All right. Sounds good. Grass-fed beef, pasture-raised on 150,000 acres in Central California. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, free-range, sustainably produced, humane. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, the authentic flavor of the American West.
Hey, welcome back to Meet Your Maker. I'm here with Chef Simon Glenn, who is now the new executive chef at Dean Street in Prospect Heights, and also the amazing mind behind the Chop Shop of DBA, and also soon to be the Chop Shop in Bushwick. Now tell me where this
Chop
is going to be.
Chop Shop Bushwick.
Yeah.
Heavy Woods is the name of the bar. It's owned by Ben and Gina.
Oh, we got a pizza coming. Yeah, anyway, Heavy Woods, Ben and Gina are the owners.
Yeah, they also own a place called Bodega, which is a very popular wine bar out there.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they built a little kitchen, and we were introduced by a mutual friend, and it's going to be awesome.
You know, there's some serious really buzz about this, because I was out last night with one of my friends I work with, and I had no idea, like, she's just a colleague. Like, she's not into food at all, and she was like, talking about how her and her girlfriend just bought a place on Knickerbocker, and they're talking about all the food and all the stuff that's happening around here, and she's like, oh my god, Simon from Chop Shop is coming here.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, and she had no idea you were even coming on my show today, you know, and she's like,
me neither.
Well, you know, but I feel
lucky to have the time.
It worked out, you know, but she was so like happy that you were coming here, and I was like, I mean, just imagine like how everyone else feels about this, you know? Because
hopefully it's gonna be something that's, you know, accepted and appreciated, and I mean, that's the best part about Chop Shop, and it's always been, is that interaction with the guest and, you know, mm-hmm. taking away the kitchen walls and, you know, kind of seeing the people eat and enjoying the food and having the freedom to, you know, be a little bit dynamic and serve things that are, you know, extremely flavorful at a little bit of a lower price point than you'd expect, and
kind of
over deliver.
I mean,
you know,
like what, like you were a chef in New Orleans for 10 years, right?
Yeah.
And before that, you were a, you were this like punk rocker, you know, this like, you know, just.
You'd be like, see, stalking me on Facebook and like meeting my friends from California. Is that what's going on here?
I mean, you were like the leather jacket, you know, the kid.
Yeah, on I had one of those.
You know, the kid on the corner that drove like was the you drove a big Cadillac. You know, yeah, in New Orleans. You know?
Yeah, New Orleans.
You didn't bring it to New York though.
No, my car got wrecked. That was like my favorite car ever. It was a '73 Cadillac. It was a Fleetwood.
Mm-hmm.
It was big and yellow with a chartreuse leather interior.
Yeah.
So a Fleetwood Brougham. So it's like a big four-door. It's bigger than a Sedan DeVille, 22 and a half feet long. We called it the Vanilla Gorilla.
Right.
It was awesome. That car was amazing. I drove that thing across the country three times. I bought it for $1,100. And some jerk in a 18-foot bobtail truck smashed me. And I was driving on my way home from work when I worked at the Windsor Court. And, I don't even remember what street I was on, but he worked at Charity Hospital, and he ran a red light or something and destroyed my car. It sucked. It totally ruined my car.
Yeah. And that was like your get around, because now you're driving this GMC or this SUV, and there's no way you could have that car, your old car, in New York. But what I was getting to here with this whole, why I brought this up, was before the New Orleans food life that you created, before coming to Brooklyn and bringing that amazing idea of New Orleans style cuisine to here, which I don't think existed in New York, really.
I think does. I don't know. I've never really eaten Southern restaurants outside of the South because I don't think they're any good.
Right, right.
So it's, I always say that's like been one of our ladders to climb.
So,
you know, trying to convince people that the food we make is actually tasty.
Because you're a tasty, like, your food is so tasty. Like, where did this come from? Like, what, who, like, how did it boil inside of you? Like, oh God, you know?
Well, like I said, I wanted to tie in, you know, I mean, I grew up cooking French food and, you know, never really thought I'd get out of that and a little bit like new American, sure, you know.
Yeah.
I just wanted to tie in, you know, the DBA experience with the, you know, Mimi's and DBA on Frenchman Street, and kind of get that kind of vibe going up here to kind of, because they do have a lot of people that, you know, I know and love, you know, work both at Mimi's and DBA on Frenchman.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of like tying that Brooklyn and Manhattan into that. Because there kind of is this thing people kind of transient back and forth.
You don't do anything in New Orleans now that you.
No, I would never do anything that's New Orleans related to New Orleans. There's everybody does New Orleans food in New Orleans.
Right, right. But I mean, you never thought of like, okay, so like, let's say you're, you know, you got these two chop shops and now Dean Street.
You know, like, go to New Orleans and open a ramen restaurant or something.
Right, exactly. Like, I mean,
that'll be successful.
Yeah, because there's a lot of Vietnamese food down there.
And, yeah, which is kind of like the oysters that we do are kind of Vietnamese based.
And Dean Street has dollar oysters too, right?
Dean Street has dollar oysters every day, 5 to 8. Three types.
Yeah,
doesn't include the baked oysters.
But they're not oysters. Are they? Or they're not? They can't be from New Orleans, are they? The oysters?
No, the oysters are all local.
Because I had
like Chop Shop oysters are local. Yeah. Like people go, oh, are these Gulf oysters? There's that big thing with the BP spill, and we actually stopped serving the grill oysters for a while.
Is that why I just had a bunch down there, you know?
Right, but last summer,
you
know, we used to sell 300 to 400 oysters every Sunday at Chop Shop.
Yeah.
The first 2 years. And then last year with the oil spill, I'd buy 100 oysters, I'd sell like 3 orders. Like people were scared. They didn't understand, like, well, these oysters are actually, you know, from Long Island Sound. Like they're Blue Points. They're from down the street, you know. It's like I'm not shipping, you know, freshwater oysters up here. And so it was kind of like that thing. Like people just had that fear. A lot of people like swore off seafood for a while.
All right. You, are this mastermind of New Orleans cuisine. Like, there had, was there anyone in your family that inspired you to cook, or was it you were just the only guy, and everyone was like, ah?
Oh, I mean, it's, you know, second generation American. My grandmother's from Germany. She's great. She was a great cook. You know,
okay, so you, my, you definitely
my mother
come
and
from
father.
Background.
My father used to be a chef. He was
yeah.
He used to be a chef on a oceanography vessel called the Tevega. He'd like travel all over the South Pacific.
Yeah.
as the head chef there. You know, other than that, you know, I grew up on a farm, you know, when my parents settled down, we lived on like a 9-acre farm.
And that was where?
Santa Cruz Mountains.
In California.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Up in Zionte, which is kind of like a very, very small town next to the small town of
Thumb. I always knew you had a California vibe about you.
Yeah,
you
it's know? The accent.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the accent. And I like, you know, I'm prone to say hella and dude.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Gnarly, narnar, which is like gnarly squared.
Yeah, and what's the one thing I really want to touch on with this show is when I really want to dig deep into it, and he's not going to, I really doubt Simon's going to share any of this information, but how do you make your biscuits? biscuit you don't have to recipe. Give the secret. You don't have to give the secret, but you know, you had, you told me on the other day that you, you pretty much modeled your biscuit after Popeyes.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? Nothing's better than Popeyes. That's my mantra.
I think your biscuit's better than Popeyes.
the only thing why is because, you know, they use that crappy salty margarine and we use like nice sweet butter.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
No, that's it. I mean, I always tell that to everyone. Anytime anybody says anything about Southern cooking in New York, I'm like, well, is it better than Popeyes? They're like, no. I'm like, there you go. So that's what we try to do. We strive to be as good as Popeyes.
Nice. That's amazing. Like, would you, I don't know.
I know people are going, Popeyes, that sucks, you know, whatever. But I mean, the Popeyes in New York is a lot different than the Popeyes in Louisiana.
Are you kidding me? On our way back to the airport, like we were leaving, because we just got done eating a po' boy at Tracy's.
Sure.
And I was like, you know, I'm like bleeding with like cholesterol out of my eyes. And I'm just like, I'm like thinking, should I ask the cab driver to stop at Popeyes and get a biscuit? Like,
yeah.
But I didn't have the energy. Like, I had the, and now I regret not eating at a freaking Popeyes in New Orleans. And, but I didn't want to do it.
That's all right.
Yeah. You know, but yeah,
no, I'm not going to say it's the best fried chicken in the world. It's definitely not.
No, not their fried chicken, but their biscuits
are good. The biscuits are good. Yeah. I mean, the fried chicken's good. I like it.
How many biscuits do you make daily?
Like, it depends on what part of the season is. You know, we certainly have, you know, certain days are better than others. You know, football season's like a whole nother,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I hate to say it's a headache. It's hard to say that being busy or over capacity is mm-hmm. a headache, but it is a little bit too busy during the Saints games. And
so I remember,
we'll sell like between 100 and 150 biscuits on a Sunday while the Saints are playing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, but they'll come with like things on it, like the pork biscuit's really good.
Because you like used to throw on your Twitter like biscuits are in the oven.
Yeah,
you would get people like excited.
I gotta get back on Twitter.
You're so busy, you don't have time to do that anymore. You gotta hire someone to tweet for you.
I can't hire somebody to send out tweets. This is my Twitter twit.
Hey, chefs are the new celebrity, man.
This is my Twitter twit.
There's no longer rock stars. There's now chefs
on Craigslist.
Oh, yeah, that was the thing.
Looking for a twit.
Yeah. And then what's the thing like?
Much needed. A twit.
I'm reading
tab
all these.
ESP and vocalize my inner thoughts.
Now, how long have you been doing Dean Street for? Like, did I ask that already? Or like,
No. Well, I've been cooking out of there for about a year and a half as a tenant. Uh-huh. And they've been super, super generous with their space with me and, mm-hmm. you know, basically allowing Chop Shop to continue because it, you know, we were actually looking at having a hard time finding a new space. We were at Chestnut before, but it was just getting too big for Chestnut's little space.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Chestnut's no longer in existence, unfortunately. You know, so I moved to Dean Street and they've been super generous with their space and letting me, you know, cater out of there. You know, we've served like 500 people functions out of there. We've done like five events on a day before out of there. And, you know, they started talking to me about it and just, you know, it started to make sense. I was there already. Mm-hmm. I knew the staff. You know, I was like, well, I can't stop what I'm doing.
Do the owners of Dean Street, like, do they have a love for New Orleans style food? Or
they definitely have an appreciation.
Yeah.
Say. I mean, it's not really, we're not setting out to become a New Orleans style restaurant there. I mean, yeah. There, you know, the gumbo's on the menu now. We're definitely serving the duck and brisket boudin balls.
What was the one thing on the menu I saw? The satanic egg?
The satanic egg. Yeah, that's our chop shop egg, but it's
Right.
We kind of turned up the heat on it a little bit.
Yeah.
We're pounding in like smoked like dried chipotles and habanero peppers. And arbol chilies into the smoked paprika to kind of give it. It's not something that's going to like set you on fire, like make you cry. You know, yeah. I mean, we haven't tried a ghost. We haven't put a ghost chili in it yet. We're thinking about it.
But your menu is so creative. Like, it's just not burgers and fries. You know, like
no. I mean, that's Prospect Heights, we're trying to basically is
Prospect Heights is very burger and fry.
You yeah, know?
And here I'm looking
a lot
at
of that. We're trying to do is create a place.
Yeah,
it's a bar, and we're trying to have good food in the bar.
Check this out: crispy confit chicken.
Yeah, those
crispy confit chicken wings with chipotle jam, cilantro, and cream, and lime crema. Like,
yeah, that's
I good. Mean, for lunch, that is something you get in like Bushwick or you know Williamsburg. But you're creating this menu.
I don't know where you're going to get that in Williamsburg.
When I'm saying something similar, like you know,
chop. Yeah. You're getting something similar. But, it's not gonna be the same thing. I mean, no. I mean, the thing is, like, we didn't want to do like my thing was like, well, I want Chop Shop to be Chop Shop,
and right? Right.
I want this to be something a little bit different, and I don't want to be kind of pigeonholed into you know Southern cooking. It's definitely gonna have a Southern bent to it, you know. And we will have like you know, of course, we're gonna have gumbo.
Yeah.
It seems silly to you know make 25 gallons of gumbo a week and not make an extra 10 gallons of gumbo to sell at the restaurant.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to sell boudin balls. You know, 500 boudin balls a week. It seems silly not to make a few more and sell them at the restaurant. You know what I mean?
How about the, your other chef that was there today, he was ordering, he told you to order muffaladas. Now, when are you going to, have you ever made your own muffalada bread?
I mean, the biscuits are one thing.
Yeah.
Bread, I'm kind of leaving to the professionals.
Uh-huh.
You know, we tasted like for the po' boys, we, you know, I mean, obviously some people up here, they're like getting bread flown up for New Orleans when they make po' boys, which is great, but it comes frozen and then you gotta like worry about storing it. And
yeah.
It's gonna get stale or whatever. So we basically found like for us, like a decent French roll that when toasted gets kind of crispy on the outside and airy in the middle and kind of emulates that look. It's not perfect. It's a point of contention with a lot of New Orleanians, but, you know, we're doing the best we can with it. We make up for it with the fish breading. But, you know, like the muffalata, you know, we want to do like, we had this idea of making this like the New York muffalata.
I'm so hungry right now. You're driving me crazy anyway.
Like the YAWK.
Was it? Koshan Butcher makes an awesome muffalata.
Like, yeah, I don't think I've had theirs.
Yeah, and
I've eaten some good things there, though.
I was wondering where they get their bread from, but where do you get your muffalata from?
We get it. You know, we use Hudson bread. They've already delivered to the restaurant, so it just makes sense.
Yeah, exactly.
So we get like an olive focaccia with like cheese on it.
Right, right.
And it's you know, I mean, some people are like, "Oh, this is amazing," but it's definitely not a muffalata.
Yeah.
It's similar to a muffalata, but it's not. I mean, you go to like Central Grocery, and you know they have that. You know, big semolina roll with the sesame seeds, and then they have like that, you know, kind of mass-produced salami.
Are you gonna be here in Bushwick at all when you open? When's it opening tomorrow? Right?
No, it's gonna be a couple weeks.
It's gonna be a couple weeks.
Yeah, it's gonna be a couple weeks. We don't really have a date. Actually, I'm on my way to a meeting over there.
Right What's the days you're gonna be there? Do you know that, or you don't know that?
Eventually, it's gonna be 7 days a week. We're not sure. We'll probably open up like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, just to get it up and going, and once that kind of fills up, you know, we're gonna add to it, and it'll be a 7 day a week thing, and then we'll add lunch and brunch, so it'll be a lot less like a pop-up stand like we do at DBA,
yeah,
and a lot more like a regular bar that you eat at a couple times a week, preferably every day.
That's awesome. So all breakfast, you lunch, all you Brooklynites dinner. Out there, Simon is opening up in Bushwick, and well, that's it, man. Thank you so much, brother, for coming on. High five.
Hey, thanks for having me. And it's great to see you.
We're sitting here eating Mangalitsa pig and talking about New Orleans food. We're just like,
it's good with that chow chow on it.
Yeah,
too. The chow chow. Well, all right.
Anyway, see you guys next week. Rachel should be back from Italy, so we'll be here together, joining forces, continuing the show. So have a good day, guys. See ya.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.